Just an announcement for you that also is not in the bulletin this morning. There's a movie coming to town on Friday. It's called What If? Now, you may have heard the announcements on the radio. I heard it, I think, first on last Thursday or last Friday. And it's a story of Ben Walker, who 15 years ago left his college sweetheart, Wendy, and his calling to be a preacher in order to pursue a business opportunity. Now, with a high-paying executive gig, a trophy fiancé, a new Mercedes, he hasn't considered a family nor felt the need to set foot in a church in 15 years. But God has other plans. While on a thrill ride outside the city, his new car mysteriously dies. And he's visited by a tow truck driver named Mike, who claims to be an angel sent to show Ben what his life would be like had he followed his true calling. So the movie's called What If? It starts, I believe it's one day only, Friday at the Regal Cinemas. For some of you folks that live out of town, it's also going to be at the Flagship in New Bedford. I don't know what the times are, but it is well recommended, compelling, entertaining. Ravi Zacharias says, this movie will raise all the right questions in both the young and the old. I found myself thinking through my own calling and the beautiful claim of God upon my life. James McDonald, whom you know, says, What If makes a profound impact. The story is powerful, the acting compelling, and the ending gripping. Entertaining, yes, but more than that, it's thought-provoking in an easy and believable way. And you might recognize Erwin Lutzer. This movie is a powerful reminder that God is with us even when we detour from the main road. Your family and friends will enjoy this movie, and I promise it'll give you much to talk about. So that's this Friday. As I said, we don't know times. Watch your email. Check the papers. It's called What If? Big-name actors, Kevin Sorbo, who did TV series like Hercules and done other stuff like that. One of the actress, leading actresses from the Disney Network, so the kids would recognize her. Now, it's not a chick flick, so Gene, don't send Bev with Kaylee and say, I'm going to go golf tonight. Okay? Take your family. I already got my honey to promise that we're going to be, where'd she go? She moves so much, I can't keep track. So me and my honey are going to be there. And who knows, with this Facebook stuff, maybe we'll all get together and say, hey, we're going to be at such and such a show. Are you going to be there too? So it'd be great. It's What If? It's only one day. We need to support movies like this because they reach people with the gospel, with the truth of Jesus Christ in a popular format. And Hollywood needs to see that this is a viable production for them. So that's What If, and it comes out Friday. Watch the papers. Watch the email. Now I'm going to ask you all to stand, please. We're going to read together Acts chapter 4, 1 through 13. This morning my text verse is going to be Acts 4, 13. But we're going to stand and read together chapter 4 of Acts 1 through 13. Now I understand that we may have a different translation, and the person next to you may have a different word in a different place than you do, but let's just be patient. Read God's word together, Acts 4, 1 through 13. And as they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he has made whole, Be it known unto all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this reading of your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here among us this hour. Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive your word this morning. We ask it all in Jesus' name, amen. Now, the phrase I'd like to ring in your ears, you may be seated, thank you. The phrase I would like to kind of ring in your ears this morning is from chapter 4, verse 13. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. There was something different about these men, and that difference was Jesus. And I want us to consider this morning, what difference is there in our lives? What does the world see that can only be explained by Jesus? Now, in the first service, I spent way too much time on Peter. So if you want to do a study of Peter, he's mostly in Matthew. In Matthew, there's lots of references to him. Peter lived a life that was under a microscope in Scripture. But he was one of these men that was called by Christ, and he was one of these unlearned, ignorant men. Unlearned, in biblical terms, meant they had no letters, no training, no rabbinical school, no seminary, no formal teaching. Jesus had called them in Luke chapter 5 and made them fishermen to become fishers of men. Now, I don't know if there's a school for fishing that these guys went to, but I can pretty much guarantee they didn't teach theology. But Jesus called them from fishermen to become fishers of men. And in Luke chapter 5, there's a story of that. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. Now, what was Peter's profession? Fishing. And here's the carpenter telling him to set out deeper and drop your nets. We've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let you down. I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. One of the other passages, I think it was in Matthew, said that their father was there too. And they left their father and the family business and their future and their security to follow Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus reveals that the truth that was told to these unlearned, ignorant men would be like revealing truth to babies, babes. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, now, he had just received back the disciples and the apostles. It says the 70 came back, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They had come back with it, had a great day in the Lord. They had been out witnessing. They had about testifying. They had seen hearts come to Jesus. And they said, Lord, even the demons have submitted to us. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And then verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. And that's us. Because spiritually, really, we're babes. Really, spiritually, we can't fathom the depth of God's grace. We can't understand the degree of his love for us, but we trust him. And these men took those steps of faith and trust through the experiences of their life and became great messengers of God's kingdom. Now, as I mentioned about Peter, you know the story of Peter, and I'm not going to touch on all the scripture references right now, but he was the one that was quick to follow. He was the one that was quick to profess Jesus. Remember, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, blessed are you, Peter, because God revealed this to you and you've professed it. Peter was the one that had a misguided conception of Christ when Christ in Matthew 16 said, I'm going to have to die. I'm going to have to give up my life for you. In Matthew 16, I'll read this 21 to 24, Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, that this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So Peter may have been misguided. He didn't always hit it right on, but his heart was with Jesus. Even when he said, Lord, I'll stay with you till the end. If all fall away, I'll be there beside you. Imagine committing yourself to a friend like Peter did. And then when it came down, what happened? Peter fled like everybody else. I'm thankful that God uses ignorant common men, works in progress. And Christ came back to Peter, accepted him back. And you watch a change in Peter's life. I think you see it in John 21. Turn to John 21 for a second. I'll read a passage out of John 21, 15 to 17. Now, this is after the resurrection. Christ has come back. This is the third appearance to the disciples, to the apostles. In John 21, we see Christ come back and speak to Peter. Peter that had denied him, that had abandoned him, that had failed in his allegiance to our Lord. I'm sure we've all done that. I know I've done that. Failing to stand when I should. John 21, 15 to 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. I think I see in that passage, Peter's finally broken. And I think I see him repenting of his own self. We have to give up ourself to follow Jesus. The biggest obstacle in our lives a lot of times is ourself. It's our ego, it's our pride, it's our accomplishments. I was telling the kids last week, we were talking about blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven. And I was saying, you know, we can get self-righteous. I wear the suit. I wear the tie. If it turns somebody else off, it may be self-righteousness. Peter was broken from that at that point and became a changed man. And you watch what happens. In Acts chapter 3, this same Peter, some short time later. Now, the Holy Spirit had come in Acts chapter 1, as you know. In early chapter 2. And Peter's there, of course. All the disciples and the apostles are gathered in the upper room. They receive the Holy Spirit. And this unlearned, common, ignorant man immediately becomes a spokesman for the kingdom. In chapter 2, verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judah and all that ye dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." Remember the story? They're speaking in tongues, all languages that they don't know. And people are saying, how can so-and-so speak such and such? He's from such and such an area. He doesn't know that language. What are they, drunk? What's going on here? So Peter explains, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he goes on to profess Jesus. And he continues on in 22, chapter 2. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Verse 24 says, "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden." If we've been with Jesus, we're compelled to say what we know. Peter was compelled that day to say what he knew. Christ used him as an instrument for his kingdom that day. This common, unlearned, ignorant man, Christ used that day. And several other times early in the book of Acts, you find him in key places at the right time speaking the same message. Christ, the sacrifice for sin, raised the victor over death, the key to heaven. Unlearned, ignorant men. And others had gone through the same process as Peter. And that process sometimes involves struggles and trials and things we don't choose. Like Mike spoke about losing his son. God's using him now to comfort others. Their trust and their faith, these early men, grew through obedience and experience. Christ had a core few men like Peter and James and John, sometimes Andrew, that he kept especially close to them, that experienced his transfiguration, were there when he was triumphant in his speaking, prepared the Last Supper for him, all by faith. Peter and John, we read about, were arrested together. They were so tight, they were the only two guys that got arrested when the Sanhedrin took them. And later on, they went to minister in Samaria. Now, the people marvel because Peter's speaking is nothing anything they've ever heard before. They marvel at his speaking, his preaching. In chapter 3 of Acts, he appeals to the Jews. My little subtitle says, Peter appeals to the Jews to repent. We need to repent from our sin. Was no different from any most devout Jew. It's no different from any most devout Catholic or any religion you can think of. We need to repent from our sin and call on Jesus as our Savior. And Peter brought that message to the Jews in Acts chapter 3, verse 12. He says, "When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" Now, he had just healed a man. And they thought immediately, this guy must be some kind of an angel or some kind of a miracle healer. "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, who hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, whom he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Remember the choice the people made that day? Give us Barabbas. Give us a known murderer and take our Lord. Killed the Prince of Life, verse 15 says, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith is which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So Peter preaches what he knows. He takes what God's given him and he uses it for God's glory. It says, instantly the man's feet were healed. That earlier in chapter 3, this same man. And the people couldn't deny this man had been healed. They couldn't explain it, but they couldn't deny this man had been healed. I've read several times, when you read something like this, it can't be explained. There's a good chance it's a God thing. This was a God thing. This was a miracle. And Peter gave all the glory to God. Common men become uncommon preachers. If you had a chance to look at the speeches that Peter does in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, a little bit in chapter 10, and later by Paul, it's always the same message. You killed, God raised, and we are witnesses. Peter had walked with Christ, and now Christ was living through him in his work. Now, Paul was also a witness. You know about that, right? The road to Damascus. Paul had an agenda. He had a plan. He had a track record. He was the man. If you wanted to break up a congregation, wipe out the word, Paul was the man to send in. Okay? Until God got in the way. Jesus met him on that road, changed everything. Changed his method, changed his mission. What was Paul's response when he met Jesus? Our response to Jesus is important. It may determine our destiny. In Acts chapter 9, here you see the story. It's called the conversion of Paul. Actually, he's still called Saul because God hadn't made him new yet. And Saul, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, yet breathing out the threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Slaughter is a harsh word. Difficult times for the early church. Slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest, and desiring of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. I was reading that little filler paper in the bulletin today. It talked about a man that was killed in Somalia, a Christian leader. And whoever it was that killed him, hey, your name's on our list. Well, guess what? Paul had a list like that. And whoever he found on that list, he was going to take in. But verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. You think Paul had an idea what God had planned for him at that point? He put it in God's hands anyway. He didn't know what God was going to do with him. Just like those fishermen when they give up those nets, they had no idea how it was going to change their lives that day. But these men met with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And their lives could only be explained by Jesus Christ. The change in their lives could only be explained by that incident. What things in our life can only be explained by Jesus? People might think you're weird, a little bit crazy. Maybe you go to a cult church. They might say that. I'm not saying that they do. Okay? But they'll see us in a different light. They only can be explained by Jesus, by our encounter with Jesus. And I want to look at the church, the early church, the new disciples, the church in Acts chapter 2. And again, you know the stories. This is stuff you've heard over and over again. These people had been with Jesus by the preaching of the apostles and by the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And watch what happens in Acts chapter 2. Now, Peter had told them in verse 21, Acts chapter 2, it shall come to pass that whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Skip down. Now when they heard this, verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What were they asking for? We've been convicted, Lord. What do we need to do? Lord, what will you have me do, like Paul said? They've been convicted by these common, ignorant men. And in verse 41, you see how their lives were changed because they've been with Jesus. It says, verse 41, chapter 2, they gladly received his word, were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. You see Jesus in that group? See Jesus in that congregation? It's all over them. It's on their faces. It's in their hands. It's the way they hug each other. It's the way they worship. It's the way they share. One of my notes said that the idea of that time was that they believed so surely that Christ was going to come back, like this week, they didn't need this stuff, so they just gave it away. They trusted God fully till the day he came. Now, we're called to be stewards. We aren't called to have like a communal kind of atmosphere, okay? But we're called to be good stewards, and we see their stewardship and their love come through these passages right here because they had been with Jesus. They had seen Jesus preach to them, and the Holy Spirit had worked in their hearts and changed them. All things in common, sold their possessions, continuing daily. How can they do that? How could they do that? I think they proved John 15 by practice, and that comes by faith. So turn over to John 15 for a second. Again, you may recognize this passage. We spoke about it. It was one of the memory verses in the Blackaby series, Experiencing God. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Some of those struggles we go through are just to purge us and help us bring more fruit for Jesus. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Everything that early church did was because they abided in Jesus. They trusted in Jesus. They rested in Jesus. Their faith was in Jesus, and they shared it with the world. Turn over, please, to 1 Corinthians. Now, this is Paul writing. This man, as we said, had met Jesus, had been with Jesus on that road to Damascus, and after that, he went to learn under people like Ananias. In 1 Corinthians 3, there is a passage that says, the foolish things, the wise things, here we go. Verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Our wisdom comes from God. Now, where is the passage that says, chapter 1. I'm sorry. Chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You ever feel like a small thing, like you're not a whole lot to work with? And the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. By God's glory, he uses the small things, the valueless things, the insignificant things, even if it's us, for his glory. And my challenge to you today, as you read Scripture, is to see Jesus, to meet Jesus, to meet with Jesus. We talked yesterday, Brother Armin was there, we talked yesterday about the relationship that Christ calls us to by his word, and that this word isn't just a textbook or a collection of wisdom. This is Jesus Christ. This is his spirit right here in his word. When you pick up his word and read it, the Holy Spirit applies it to your life, just as if you were talking to a friend in a conversation. This word is living. This word changes your lives, changes our lives, and we submit to him. This word is our Lord Jesus Christ. His presence among us is by his word, living word. And I challenge you to spend time with Jesus so that when people look at you, they'll say, this person has been with Jesus. This man's been with Jesus. I can't explain it any other way. It's not a new vitamin. It's not a pill he's taken. This man's been with Jesus. Show Jesus through us. Don't be discouraged that you don't have training or titles or pedigree. Jesus Christ desires to use you just as you are for his glory as you submit to him. Let's close in prayer. I'm going to ask you all to close your eyes, bow your heads just briefly. Lord, my prayer is today that everyone here has met Jesus. My prayer today here is that everyone here has found the Lord as Savior, Lord, and can say that they have a relationship with him, that they walk with him and talk with him as a close friend. When they read the word, they hear Christ speaking to them, Lord. But there may be one here this morning that isn't, Lord, and for that one, I pray that they might meet Jesus today. Lord, the altar is open for that one or two or whoever it may be, Lord, and the altar is also open for us as Christians that maybe don't spend time with Jesus, maybe don't show Jesus in our lives the way we should. We know we should, Lord. I ask you to work in our hearts and convict us this morning, to draw us closer to you, Lord, to make us more useful instruments in your hands. Lord, in the early church, the believers were made public profession, were baptized, and were joined to the church, Lord, to serve. And they served each other in the church and the body, edified the body. And as the body grew, the people around them saw a difference. Lord, might the world around us see Christ in us? Might the world around us know by our words, by our actions, that we've been with Jesus, Lord? Bless us today, Lord. Challenge us as we go from this place. Bring us back tonight at 6 p.m. for our time together with Billy Jack and taking it to the streets. We ask your blessing on these things. In Jesus' name, amen.